I started yesterday to learn a ma'amar from the Noam Elimelech, which we mentioned gave us one of the most important lessons in our Avodat Hashem, is to know when to stop, to think, and then to react. What Moshe Rabbeinu said, Asura, I will move back for a second. Of course, we're referring to the time when he was, when he saw the burning bush. Asura na, let me move back, ve'ere, and I will see. Meaning, let me not be so impulsive. Let me stop, make an observation, think, digest, and then react. So we talked about that when Moshe Rabbeinu did that when he saw the burning bush. We started the ma'amar yesterday by talking about how one has to be very particular about not letting the Yetzer Hara fool you that you have mastered your tshuva. Because the Yetzer Hara knows how to sometimes give you a time off, to give you a break. So you will think that he left you alone, and then he you off your guard. That's when he attacks you. We started in the Ma'amar by asking how come there was two different ways of saying the same thing. In the beginning it says Hasne Boel, the bush is burning, Einenu Ukal, it does not get consumed by the fire. And right after that it says after that he says Madu lo ne'echal hasne, why is the sne not being eaten or burnt? Two ways of saying it, the same idea but a different way of saying it. Now we're just going to continue what we didn't finish yesterday. We're in the 12th ma'amar in the Noam Elimelech from the Parashat Shmot. Depending on the version you have, my version is page Kaf Kuf Kaf Hei, 125. If you have a more of older or different version, it might be a different page. But nevertheless, if you count 12 ma'amarim in, this is the ma'amar that starts with O Yomar Vayira Elav Mitoch Hasne. We are towards the end in the line that ends with Asura Na Ve'ere. And the lines that we're starting is the Hatzadik Ole Tamid Mimadraga Lemadraga. We have mentioned how Moshe Rabbeinu came day after day. There was 7 days of negotiating between Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu refused to get the job. He did not want to be going down to Mitzrayim. He was very happy with his retirement. He was 80 years old. He had a wife, a kids, he had a business. He was like, leave me alone. Why are you bothering me right now? And of course, during the time of negotiating between Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu still could not understand how the burning bush is being burnt, but it doesn't get consumed. We left off by saying that Moshe Rabbeinu, one should be careful from the Yetzer Hara till the last day of his life. And Moshe said, Asurana, I will move away, let me see what I can get from that. Now we continue by saying that Tzadik Ole Tamid Mimadraga Lemadraga, the Tzadik, which referring to us, is constantly going from one level to another level. Kaasher Yatmid Ba'Avodato Yitbarach Shmo, Be'emet Uvetamim. When would you go up in your levels, from one level to another? Only when you're going to be very consistent in your Avodat Hashem. And not only that, I mean, first you have to have consistency. Can't do one day yes, one day no, one day like this, one day like that. You have to be consistent in your Avodat Hashem. And not only that you have to be consistent, you have to latmid. Latmid is to be very diligent. That's how you say diligent?
Diligent.
Diligent. Put your mind to it. And not to let distractions come and take you away, persistence. But more than that, most important, you have to apply two things. that are the most important to Avodat Hashem in order to climb from one level to the other. One of them is Be'emet, and the other one is Betamim. We mentioned yesterday that Be'emet can be explained as really, Be'emet. But the more accurate way is to explain it as Be'emet, with truth. We read it in different places, also in the Nosach of Shacharit. We say Be'emet Betamim. But it sounds like the word in Hebrew, Be'emet, really. No, it comes and tells you, you want to grow up in your spiritual level, it can only be Be'emet, only when you have when you apply truth. And Betamim. Tamim?
Tastiness?
No, Tamim is not Ta'im. Ta'im is with a tit and a ayin. Tamim with a taf and a mem is innocent. But we explained a few days ago that Tamim comes from the word Tam, like Yaakov Avinu, Aya Ish Tam Yoshevu Alim. What is the explanation of Tam? A person that doesn't look to cheat. This is a person that is called Tam, honest. Unfortunately, we all have that little kid inside that says to you, oh, it's okay, you can cheat here. Nobody will notice. And you know, the ones who walk into the supermarket and all the candies there or the dry fruit or whatever, and they, let me just taste. I want to make sure that the peanuts taste like peanuts. You know, we always have this little kid that says, no, it's okay, you can cheat here, you can cheat there. And that can come in many different places, in many different ways, of course. Ishtam is a person that not only doesn't have an agenda to cheat, he doesn't want to cheat. His agenda is to be honest. And when there's a way of maybe that chas v'shalom, it will be interpreted like cheating, or chas v'shalom, it will be cheating, right away, no, I don't want to have anything involved in it. We mentioned a couple times how severe the sin that is called gezel. Gezel is a very fine line, because it's stealing, you have to sneak at night through the window, or when nobody's watching. Gezel, it's you do it at broad daylight, and it doesn't seem like it's such a big deal that is happening. So ish tam, a person that is tamim, is a person that doesn't want to have anything to do with ramaut, with cheating. You need two character traits here: emet, truth, and innocence. And a person that's not looking to cheat. Azay zochel avol lidei reiya sichlit. If a person really is persistent in his avodat Hashem, more than that, is only way is truth. It's all about truth, and more than that, ishtam, no agenda for cheating. That's how the person comes to a level that the sechel has vision. Sechel is the intellect. Usually, the sechel, the intellect, will be thinking. We learned in the morning there are different levels. As Yehuda was the admitting. Reuven is seeing, the vision coming from the word Re'iya. Shimon is the hearing coming from the word Shmi'a. So we know usually the intellect is about thinking. We want to reach to a level that my intellect sees. The same way that I see clear and broad daylight, or when there's a lot of light, or in a good clear day, I have good vision. I have good vision, you know what I can do? I can analysis what I see very well. If there's no good vision, I can't really tell you what I'm seeing. Like you go to an eye exam, you close one eye, you know the ones who cheat, and you know I used to cheat like this. One of my eyes is not so good. So I used to, go like this and... yeah. Well, my right eye is very good. My left eye is, with the years, it deteriorated. But you go to an eye exam, if you don't have good vision, the letter is blurry. Or if you're driving in a car and the windshield is very dirty or a strong wind, you can't see in front of you. Our sechel, our intellect, it knows how to think. That's, at least we're hoping that in some people it doesn't know how to think. Some people it's like a grogger in there. You move the head, you hear. So there's nothing much there.
So we're trying to get it to autopilot?
Chas v'shalom, nothing has to be an autopilot.
Zombie-wise. Like an autopilot for an airplane that's able to go.
No, You want to have not autopilot, you want to be sharp and focused on everything. You want to bring your brain, your intellect, to a level of seeing and not thinking. When you see something, it's very, very clear. So you want to bring your sechel to the level of seeing.
I guess my question is that it seems like that's a pre-programmed. It seems now that that vision step is a pre-programmed in the intellect.
No.
It's already there. It's developed or it's there?
It's not developed. You have to reach to that level.
So of course, up the intellect.
Of course, it has to be developed, but you want to reach to a level. How do you think, for example, the prophets are able to have prophecy? They have what's called re'iyah sikhlit. They're able to see the vision, an intellect concept. So it comes as a vision. That's why a prophet is a very high level. This is a kind of like in a dream. In a dream, this is what's called a re'iyah sikhlit. Now close your eyes. And you can vision something. This is an imagination.
So you have to push out all of the thinking that's usually going on in my mind is always playing scenarios.
100%. Thinking is not such a good thing. Amen. Thinking is, depends what your thoughts are. But don't forget that 90% of your thoughts are not really your thoughts. These are called foreign thoughts, machshava zara, that is not coming from you. You need to know how to push it. You have to know right away where to put the partition. What is your thought and what is a foreign thought? I'm already taking it already to a different level, and I want my intellect to be in a level of vision. That's why we mentioned yesterday that most people, their vision, so to see, but not vision with their eyes, rather the way of looking and the perception of the world is not clear. So they're very confused. They don't know if to live here, or work here, or work there, or should I learn this, should I learn that. Most people are confused. And we mentioned yesterday that what most people do, they'll start asking advice. They go to this guy, they go to that guy, they go to this guy. And we mentioned that many people, when they seek advice, they want to go to a rabbi. Like as if the rabbi has all the answers. But it's not that the rabbi has an answers. You would hope that the rabbi that you go to is a very refined individual that is working on himself, then his vision sees things sharp. They see things as they are. And he can tell you, don't do this, don't do that. Based on the fact that he's on a higher level and he sees things more clear. The point is that I want to reach to the level that my intellect has a very clear vision. This is called Re'iyah sikhlit, that my intellect is able to, so to say, see something, have an observation, and see it the right way. Why did I say before that Moshe Rabbeinu says, Asurana, let me move back. And what does he say? Ve'ereh, and I will see. No, Moshe is not seeing with his eyes. It's taking a situation, backing off, and saying, let me analyze the situation, and I will see. You know, sometimes you go to a person and you ask for something, he will tell you, let me check and I'll see if I can do it. What do you mean, I'll see if I can do it? What, you're going to look if I can do it? No, you're going to analyze the situation and the options, and you will see, this is a seeing in your intellect, if you can do it or not. This is the Sriya Sikhlit, this vision that the Sechel, the intellect, gets. This is explained in the book that is called Chovat HaLevavot. Kamevoar beChovat HaLevavot. This is a book that is a must to learn and to be read, written by Rabbeinu Bechaye. I offer that maybe we should start adding another class to start going through this book. There's two books that there's a few books that I think it's a must for us to start learning. And one of them is Chovat HaLevavot. Another one is the Mesilat Yesharim. Anyways, there's a few other books, and there's a definite. A few other books that I think we should put our time to learn from. One of them is Rashit Chochmah. But anyways, in Chovat HaLevavot, he's now quoting from Chovat HaLevavot, and by saying, Sheshomea bli oznaim veroe bli enaim. A person sometimes hears something, but not with his ears, and sees something, but not with his eyes. Wow, the person is already in this level, כל מה שעושה בעבודת הבורא יתברך דומה בעיניו שהוא ממעט בעבודתו יתברך שמו וזהו. So when a person reaches to such a level that his ears are listening, but it's not with the actual ear, it's listening in a very deep way. This is what we said, what we're learning in the morning about Reuven is the concept of Re'iya, vision, and Shimon is the concept of Shmi'ah, of listening. This is a whole different listening. You know, you can sit and listen to somebody and not really concentrate on what the person is saying. For example, every day I spend about 2 or 3 hours on the phone talking with people. Baruch Hashem, we have a very large following online and many people call and ask for advice. They want to ask a question. So about 2 or 3 hours every day, sometimes it's more. And then I take phone calls, short phone calls, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. But sometimes I can do something as I'm listening. Because it's somebody just, yapping. Nothing that requires much of an attention. And I can do something as I'm listening. Most of the time, I have to be so attentive because there's a lot of phone calls every day. It's not that I can schmooze on the call. So we tell the people, you have 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Get your question quick. And so don't start telling me the whole family tree and where you were born and every name of every pet you had. Sometimes people like sharing a lot of information, which is irrelevant. Sometimes I have to be so attentive to listen, because if I'm going to miss one word, I don't know what to say. I don't understand what's going on there. And then I will have to say, I'm sorry, I didn't pay attention. Can you say it again? I have 10, 15 minutes times to 40 to listen very attentively what the person is saying so I can give a good answer. My wife sometimes stands next to me. She was like, I don't even know how you live all day long. All you hear is people's problems. And you have to listen. You know, sometimes you go to a psychiatrist, he goes like this, playing on his phone or whatever. I don't even know what they're doing there. So if I would charge like a psychiatrist, I would feed you a good food here. So what? They're counting the dollars, yeah. Counting the dollars. But nevertheless, there's a level of listening and a level that you really hear. That's always what I tell my kids. I tell my kids, why didn't you do this? You didn't say so. Oh, I did. I said so. I didn't hear. Well, you didn't hear. You didn't listen. You heard, but you just didn't listen. So there are different levels in vision and in hearing. Like the Chovat HaLevavot says, sometimes you can see, but not with your eyes. Go to a tzaddik. He doesn't see with your eyes. His eyes. He sees in a completely different level. Same thing, he would listen in a completely different level. It seems sometimes, when a person does that, that it's diminishing his level of his service of Hashem. But it just seems like that. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Asur ana ve'ereh. Let me move back. Move back is not necessarily to back up. Or to, how do you say, back up, back off? Back up, retreat. This is not necessarily that Moshe Rabbeinu was backing up, or backing off. He says, let me diminish right now my level so I can be more of a worthy vessel to receive what I have to see here.
Moshe was a master of this thing.
Excuse me?
Moshe was a master at this diminishing act.
Yeah, Moshe knew how to diminish himself, how to nullify himself, to become tzanua, to become humble, to be able to receive. If I will be applying arrogance or ego or any type of motion that I feel myself as an existence or better than the person that is in front of me, then I'm not going to be able to receive from them anything. Not to help them and not for them to help me. If I will go to somebody and feeling that I'm better than that person, for sure that person will not going to be able to help me. And my arrogance will be my stumbling block. That's where most people fail. Because they don't allow another person to help them. When do you allow somebody to help you? When you are completely paralyzed. Chas v'shalom. A person is sick, completely sick. Then that's when he goes to the doctor. Doctor, help me. Or when you're sitting behind bars and you need the lawyer to come and help you, suddenly you become a nice guy. Please, you know, you remember the word please. So, but the point is that in order for me to be helped, or more that, to help, it's only if I can minimize myself in order to become a vessel to receive what the other side has to say. Which in essence, it seems like I'm diminishing my level of my avodat Hashem. I'm not. I'm just making myself more humble in order to see things more clear, or listen, hear things more clearer. Rotze lomar, what is he trying to tell us? Hatzadik matmiha al atzmo v'omer b'lashon tameh. The tzaddik, so to say, I mean, of course, the normally Melech is talking about us, simple people, is raising the way of asking, like in a way of wonder. What does it mean, this way of wonder? Matme al atzmo v'omer b'lashon tameh, ma'achar shebati l'eder yasichlit, madu lo yiv'ar asneh. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu looked at the fire and he didn't understand why the fire is not burning. Basically, he moved himself away and he brought himself to the level of this wondering. I'm seeing something, but how come it's not burning?
Is it wonder or curiosity?
A wonder. מחר שבאתי לדריה שכלית, משה רבנו says, since I came, or we can apply to us, since I came to a level that I see something with my intellect, how come the snare is burning and it's not being consumed? What's the meaning for that? As we mentioned above, שמוציא בעצמו חסרונות שממת בעבודת הבורא.
I had to ask yesterday, what's a snare?
Snare is a bush. The burning bush is called snare. So, which is a very rare word. We don't really find it anywhere else. That specifically the word sneh. Nevertheless, when the person is able to minimize himself, the whole idea, what he's basically trying to say, is that I have to find the weaknesses and my faults. And the weaknesses and faults in my service to God. And when I know how to do that, יש בו עדיין יצר הרע. And the יצר הרע is always going to be saying to you, ואומר, מדוע לא יבער הסנה בעבודתו יתברך, ויתעלה. The יצר הרע is going to come and give you all these doubts and all these questions. Basically, in other words, what we're saying, when a person wants to grow spiritually, and wants to reach to the level that his intellect, his mochin, the sechel, is in the level of re'iya, when you see things, it's much more different when you see something and when you understand something. That's why now when we learn, it's all about giving good analogies and good metaphors. That's why unfortunately I have to use a lot of movies, because in the movie it's vision. It's almost like me going now to a certain country and I coming back and I tell you, don't ask, such a beautiful place. Really? What did you see there? Ah, the sky there is just gorgeous. Okay, so I know the sky is gorgeous, but I didn't see it. I don't know how gorgeous it is. The easiest way to explain it is the person goes to a vacation and he comes back and tells his friend that, oh, I was in some deserted island. You can't even imagine, there was a fruit there. Out of this world. Can you describe me the fruit? Ah, I don't know. What was the color of the fruit? I don't know how to explain it. Was it red, green, yellow, blue? I don't have such of a color here. I don't know how to explain it. Okay, so how did it taste? Sour, bitter, sweet? There's no such a taste here. So the person that is experiencing it, he saw it with his own eyes. He tasted it. He has the knowledge. Now give over the knowledge. It's not the same level. It's a completely different level. So I want to reach to a point that what I'm learning, what I'm seeing, and what I know is in a way a level of a vision, that I actually see it. You know, there's a story that the Bala Tanya, we were learning from one of his books in the morning, he went to learn by the Magid from Mazrij. And the Noam Elimelech, Elimelech from Lizhansk, were the same yeshiva. We mentioned that many times. The Baal Shem Tov had a student, the Magid from Mazrich, and he had a yeshiva. And whoever wanted to learn Hasidut went to him. And people came from different walks of life, from many different places, from different countries. And they left, so to say, their path, what they were on, and they came to learn from him. It was a big thing at the time. Everybody, the Baal Shem Tov became known, and everybody wanted to learn. But what is this Hasidut? So we find these big names in the world of Hasidut, and we hear about them in stories and words of Torah, and we don't necessarily relate to the fact that they were all in the same yeshiva. So the head of the yeshiva was the Magid from Mazrich, and he had a whole group of students. Now we're learning from the Noam Elimelech, the Elimelech from Lizhansk. He came from a city called Lizhansk. His name, and all the students were named from where they came from. Rabbi Elimelech had a brother, Reb Zusha from Anipoli. He also was in the yeshiva. Levi Yitzchak from Bardichov, Israel from Ruzhin. Each one came from a different city, and each one, of course, needless to say, what a pillar he was. Later on, at the later ages, came the younger of all the students, the Baal HaTanya. And he was known as Rabbi Shneur Zalman from Liadi. They didn't have the Tanya yet, he was young. The Tanya came many years later. This yeshiva was a warm place in Gan Eden. Just imagine all these pillars that each one learned from the student of the Baal Shem Tov, and then later on went and spread the word. So when the Baal HaTanya went back to his hometown after many years, they asked him, "What did you learn in Mazrich?" So he said, "I learned to believe that there's a God. I mean, you learned that you didn't know there's a God before that. So the individual that was sitting with him told him, "Everybody knows there's a God." And to prove to him, he calls the servant, the maid servant, and he tells her, "Do you believe in God?" She's like, "Yes." Tells him, "You see, even the maid here believes in God." So the Baal HaTanya told him, "Yes, she believes in him. I know he exists." So he reached to a level that was already in such a level, "I don't just believe. I can believe in anything. I can believe in fairy tales. I can believe in the tooth fairy also if I want. But there's a big difference between believing and I know. I see it." When you see something, it's a whole different level. That's a level that we want to elevate myself, that I see things in a vision. Now, the way to do it, first of all, we said you have to be very persistent in your Avodat Hashem. Then you have to be emet. It's all about emet. Everything has to be truth here. And, of course, has to be, we also said, tam. No cheating here. No cheating anything. No cheating me. No cheating other people. No cheating anything. But more than that, I have to apply the motion of Moshe Rabbeinu, asura na ve'ereh. Asura is I have to minimize myself. I can minimize myself by looking at other people and saying, "You know what, I'm great in this, but he's greater than me in that, and he's greater than me in that, and he's greater than me in that." You know what, the conclusion is that everybody's greater than me. I have a good character trait. I'm maybe a good singer, a good musician, a good cook, a good father, I don't know, a good student. But everybody in the world, they have something that is better than me. By that, I humble myself, and I don't see myself that I'm above somebody else. But another approach of minimizing myself, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was applying, is finding the faults in me. If I know to find my fault in me and say, "You know what, I'm lazy," or whatever it is, "I am a hothead, I get upset like that," or "I'm impatient," or "I'm judgmental." If you know how to spot in you your faults, that's minimizing yourself. That you know to say, "Okay, I know what I'm good at. I'm good at A, B, and C. But I also know my faults." And when I know my faults, then I'm able to elevate myself in Avodat Hashem because I know what to work on. And of course, you need to have Midat Anava here. You're not going to find your faults if you're not humble. Because then you'll say, "Like, oh no, that's not a fault. This is it's much better than many others." But that shouldn't be the attitude, that it's much better than many others. You know, they say, "Tzarat rabim nechamat yachid." A lot of people, they get comfort by the fact that everybody has the same problem. So I have a young student that we talk on a regular basis, and he's coming from an observant world, but he's unfortunately battling what many men battle. And it's very hard for him. He learns in yeshiva as a very observant man. And
he's very observant, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Extremely.
Yeah. I mean, at least on the chitzoniut.
As the man's eye.
So he's observing. I don't know what he's observing. Listen, we can't laugh at anybody because, you know, you laugh, the Yetzer Hara comes and punches you in your face.
Yeah,
so we have to only laugh at ourselves. But nevertheless, what comforts him, he keeps telling me, everybody does that. I said, well, so what if everybody does that? It means you should do it. So what if everybody fails in something? Well, it gives you an excuse. Shouldn't be an excuse for you. So what? So that's a lot of times people, they minimize a deficiency or a disadvantage by saying everybody's doing the same thing. So what if everybody's doing the same thing? Not too long ago, somebody came and told me, can I lie on my taxes? If I lie here on the taxes, I'll get more money back. So he asked for a hetel to lie in taxes. I said, I'm sorry, I don't agree. Don't lie on your taxes. So he came with all the explanations, the government is corrupt, this, that, told him, listen, Habibi, lying is lying. Cheating is cheating. I don't care who you cheat. I don't care who you steal from. Stealing is stealing and lying is lying. Doesn't matter what you say. You want to come now and be sophisticated, he's a crook, he's this, he's corrupt. Why would you, even if it's true, even if you one will say, you know, you can cheat a cheater. But who cares? Why would you want to bring on yourself this energy, this idea of lying? Who are you lying to at the end of the day? Who are you cheating at the end of the day? You're cheating yourself. Even if you're cheating from a murderer, you're killing, you're stealing from a thief. Who cares if he's a thief? Why do you want to make yourself a thief? What do you think? Let's say, forget right now, is a punishment, not a punishment, what the halacha says. Why would you want to be involved in something negative like cheating? Why? It brings on you that energy.
It doesn't stop there.
Of course. So the point is that I was trying to, and then what was his answer? But everybody cheats in taxes. I said, who cares what everybody does? If everybody's going to jump off a roof, you're also going to jump off the roof.
My mother used to say.
Yeah, so that's what my father used to say. The point is, sometimes we blame my faults on the fact that everybody does it, that it's fine for me to do it. The point is that we have to take from Moshe. Moshe is our teacher, that's why we call him Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, let me see how I can elevate myself in Avodat Hashem. And how can I elevate myself in Avodat Hashem? I have to be humble. I have to, first of all, be talking only truth. That's why Moshe is called Emet. The sons of Korach, when they fell into the pit and got saved, they screamed, Moshe Emet, v'torato Emet. So Moshe says, first of all, Emet. Don't lie. Then you have to be tam. You have to now have no agenda to cheat anything. Doesn't matter even to cheat from a dog. Cheating is cheating. More than that, minimize yourself. Now, that doesn't mean you have to make yourself a shmate. It means that you have to look in yourself and say, okay, what are my faults? What are my faults so I know what to work on? And if I don't do that, then I'm cheating myself, basically. I need to look at myself and say, I'm lazy. I'm whatever. I'm arrogant. I'm whatever it is. When I know how to look at my faults, that's how I know how to minimize myself. That's when I elevate myself to a much higher level. That needless to say that my vision becomes vision. My intellect, my mochin, my sechel is in a level of vision, not in a vision level of thinking. Needless to say, when the Yetzer Hara, that's how he concludes, when the Yetzer Hara comes to you with all sorts of questions and doubts, then you know where exactly to put the Yetzer Hara to answer him. That's why specifically it comes in a way that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying it in a wonder. How come the bush is burning and it doesn't get consumed? The idea of the question. But nevertheless, when a person knows how to apply everything that we just says, what does it say? Yitbarach v'yitaleh zichro la'ad u'lenetzach netzachim, amen. his level, his memory, his essence will be blessed, will elevate higher and higher, needless to say, for Netzach Netzachim. And what we want to take from that, something practically, is when we apply that, then forget about right now my personal level, that I refine myself and I get myself to a higher level. But when I apply that, I become an example. People look at each other and they're trying to find excuses for their faults. So if I will now have a fault and I will recognize it in another few people in the room, I'm not the only one, it's okay. But the point is that that's, needless to say, the wrong attitude. I have to look around and say, okay, I know what my fault is. Let me show the world around how I deal with my fault so I can become an example that others can see, oh, you know what? He also had that. Look how he changed. And when you change, don't think that people don't notice your changes. People see your change. People are able to look at your face. People look at your expressions. You only see the world that way. You don't see how the world sees this way. People notice change in the way you walk, in the way you talk, in the way you pray, in the way you everything. I have an agenda to be an example. And if I can change myself, but to affect somebody else, then I reach to a much, much higher level. There's a few levels in learning Torah. Learning for the sake of learning, learning for the sake of knowing, and learning for the sake of teaching. The highest level is to lilmod, la'asot ve'lelamed. To learn, to do, and to teach. That's the level. And I don't have to be a Moshe Rabbeinu for that, and I don't have to be the chief rabbi of the world. I need to be a good individual and saying, let me learn to apply so I can show and teach and inspire. And this is exactly what was the agenda of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why he's called Rabbeinu. He got the title Rabbeinu, and not a tzaddik or a navi. You can give many titles to Moshe. He was a king too. We could have called him Moshe HaMelech or Moshe HaNavi. Or Moshe, whatever. We call him Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu means our teacher. You take everything that Moshe applied, as great as he was, and he's saying, that's what I have to be. I have to be a little Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't have to be such a high level. I need to show example to the people around me. And needless to say, when it comes to my small circle, to my kids, to my neighbors, this is called in Hebrew, Dugma Chaya. Give example. Give an example. A, you're going to affect other people. It's a much, much higher level than you focusing just on yourself. And of course, a lot of people will come and argue, yeah, let me first work on myself, then I'll inspire other people. No, you have to do milchatchila, go and affect other people, that will elevate you by default. Don't wait for you to refine yourself, that might take much longer. Just give an example, even though you might get an argument, why are you being fake? Am I being fake? Let me show to the world how something can be done, and other people can pick up on that. And by default, that will elevate me where I need to be elevated. Zad Hashem should always have the ability to apply everything that we learn.
Amen.
We should have the clarity in our mind to see things the right way, to be able to become an example, and needless to say, to be refined to a level that we can cause a lot of nachat to the Kadosh Baruch Hu.